Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The base is loaded and one out.
Marcus, oh my God!
Deep to right field, way up there and way out of here. Second deck walk-off home run, grand slam.
Hello and welcome in everyone to episode 175 of the Bases Loaded Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm your host Mike Kurland. You can follow me on Twitter at Mike_Kurland, and we're back. It's not just solo. I say we because George Montanez is back. You can follow him on Twitter at @Roto_Nino. George, what's going on?
What's up, man? It's our first in-season podcast.
Just I was excited to.
Yeah,
I wasn't
it's the first
sure
one
was.
In season. Yeah. I mean, I'm just happy to have baseball back. It's been exciting. Just staying on top of everything. Actually getting real games, and you know our fantasy seasons are underway, so. It's exciting times.
Oh, definitely. And today is April 13th. So anything you listen to is up until and during, because right before we press play, Teoscar Hernandez got hurt, which we'll talk about here in a second. But I got to do the whole plug and stuff. So real quick, 5-star rating review is greatly appreciated on your format. You could never use too many of those. And Patreon. Yes, I know. You probably see it on Twitter. You're probably sick of me talking about it. But we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/SK Playbook. George and I post to it daily. George has a lot of relief pitching write-ups. I've been doing the daily lineup notes team by team, some daily velocity and pitcher recaps as a whole. I do have a schedule tracker that has notes in it, and I'm just kind of throwing anything in there I can. A positional eligibility chart I also keep track of. So all that can be found on the $3 tier and above. So check us out on SK Playbook. Well, yeah, technically it's SK Playbook, right? But it's patreon.com/SK Playbook. And of course, the free daily article I put out on skplaybook.com as well. You can get, if you want to get that emailed to you, because I've actually had a lot of questions about that. I think our email sub list is like 150 emails deep already. If you sign up our newsletter on the website, you can just plug your email in there and I'll email it. It's a daily article by email at 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Yeah, that's all the plugging. It's all content all the time. And more content tonight as we talk about more baseball. I think I did it, George. I think I'm getting better at the whole reading and promoting. I'm getting comfortable promoting because, you know, people are actually enjoying the content. We're up to 78 or 79 Patreons.
Yeah, it's about 78 or 79. And yeah, I mean, thank you to everybody out there that has subscribed. I mean, and
79.
Then,
sorry, 79. We just got one 30 minutes ago. So thank you.
And everyone that's jumped into the Discord too. I mean, it's been a lot of fun just chatting it up in there. So yeah, and just, you know, doing all this writing and stuff just kind of helps us both stay on top of everything. And I know it's helped me like really pay attention and lock in, and it's gonna be fun just staying locked in all season into fantasy and everything that we could take away from it and stuff. So
We say yeah, that
join,
now.
Join the Discord. It's been, yeah. I mean, I say that now, like, yeah, 5-6 days in or whatever. But I mean, yeah, we'll see how we feel in a few months from now.
it's always the hard part. The hard months to get through are usually like June, July, and then August, September picks back up because now you're nearing the end. I think at the beginning and the middle, maybe we'll do some second chance leagues, keep us more motivated to. It's one of those things like I love. I'm really enjoying it. I'm doing a lot more than I anticipated, but it's one of those things that you mentioned. It keeps us in it because look, I'm talking about pitchers. I don't think I talked about pitchers at all last year. We have a list of early season SP standouts, good and bad. We have a list of some hitter standouts. You could throw in names in there. I just threw a bunch of names that I know people want to hear about. Some struggling young studs. Again, we'll talk about them a little bit. Some more obvious than others. And yeah, that's pretty much the route we're going to go tonight. And you know, I'm paying a lot of attention when I'm texting you about relief pitcher specs. I like,
yeah,
like I'm like, and I guess we'll talk about them real quick. I think it's Ryan Helsley. I know it's Helsley. Mm-hmm. I forget the first name from the Cardinals because of all the talk about Gallegos not being the guy. Then who is? I thought Hicks was going to be. They decided to randomly start him. Helsley's kind of the same guy I thought Hicks was going to be. Helsley's throwing about 100 miles per hour. On average, like around 99 to 100, the dude's swing and miss. He's creating swing and miss. He's getting the whiffs. He's doing it all. Like swing and miss and whiffs are the same thing essentially, but he's doing it all. And Helsley's playing that role I thought Hicks was going to. So I thought he stood out to me as somebody that maybe he'll get you 10 or so saves. Maybe he could be what we hope Trinan to be. You know, initially when you got Trinan like 10 to 15, maybe that's possible if they truly want to get away from Gallegos as the sole closer. And then the other one was what? Dylan Coleman? Dylan? Why does that sound wrong?
Yeah, it's Coleman. Dylan Coleman.
It is Dylan. Kansas I told City. You, I don't do relief pitchers. So I have to like, I'm like, I know the last name, but Dylan Coleman. Yeah, his stuff looked great too. And he stood out to me. I'm like, this is a team that always wants to find someone to close eventually. It's like they trade people off and all this, yada, yada. So he caught my attention. So yeah,
there's been a lot of guys. You look at Joan Duran in Minnesota. You know, I was really high on Jorge Alcala. Unfortunately, he's hit the injured list. So you know, now with Rogers gone too, I mean, the door's wide open. It wouldn't really be Rocco Baldelli style, right? To like just go with one guy right now. I don't anticipate it being just one guy. But man, Duran, he just looks filthy and. I would expect him to kind of get into the mix there in part of that save committee with Minnesota. There's a couple other situations that have kind of been clearing up a bit. Like you look at the Nationals today, Tanner Rainey picked up another save. And you just look at the pattern there. Kyle Finnegan has pretty much been consistently pitching behind Rainey so far through the first week. So, and I mean, Dave Martinez, he's talked really highly about Rainey before, about wanting to him to kind of take a hold of that job. So I think he's going to kind of just let him run with it. Then we saw today also Camilo Duvall get another save chance.
That situation is a mess.
Yeah, I mean, Duvall got the first. I mean, after Gabe Kapler said that it was going to be McGee on opening day if there was a save chance coming up, but it was actually Duvall. He blew the save. And then today, another save chance, and it was Duvall out there again. And that one almost got away from him, too. Allowed a hit, then hit a batter, and then a walk, loaded the bases, and then finally got Matt Beattie to strike out to get the save. But, man, that situation I think could be a little up and down throughout the year too. So we'll see. But, yeah, there's some teams that are kind of clearing things up a bit.
It's nice to see some clarification, but it is frustrating to see that a lot of things haven't settled either. Right. So it's like, I mean, we expected this to settle by now in the spring, let alone now, and it hasn't. So it's aggravating. But David Robertson was another one that I wanted to bring up real quick. That it seems like he solidified the job as well in Chicago. So
that's right.
We are getting answers. It's just maybe not the ones you expected. Daniel Bard in Colorado. Again, just another one that.
Yeah, it seems like the teams that also that we thought would be headaches. I mean, they're doing what they're doing. Like Seattle, Tampa Bay, Cincinnati. Who else? There's like a couple other like committees out there that have just been straight up committees. You just don't know who it's gonna go to. The Giants.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's again, it's just one of those things that we have to continue to monitor. That's what's fun about fantasy baseball. Things can change any given day. So getting into some of these early season standouts in terms of pitchers, struggling studs, etc. We saw Corbin Burnes. I don't know why I put his first name in the show notes for whatever reason, and Garrett Cole. We saw those guys kind of bounce back for the most part today, so obviously no real concerns there. But something you and I spoke about for a second off air, and I wanted to bring that into this podcast, was Robbie Ray. Two iffy starts. I'm not sure what to think of it. We talked about, like, you know, the velo's down, but tonight it's raining crazy. Last game, it was cold. Is it? I mean, we talked. We mentioned how he hasn't, you know, pitched in these types of conditions to start the year. At least last season, he didn't when he had the breakout. Robbie Ray was in Florida back when he was with Toronto because they started in Buffalo, and then he was also in a dome. So there's a whole bunch of This wasn't an issue, is what I'm getting at. The outdoor temperature weather stuff wasn't an issue. And I don't know if we should be concerned about these two starts because the velo's down. It's not down like a half a tick. It's down like 2 miles per hour on the fastball type of stuff. It's significantly down. But the weather has been significantly worse for him. So I'm not sure if he's backing it off so he can get more control. It's one of those things that we have to keep watching, but man, there's a buy low window right now. And I guess you should probably take advantage of it. Cause I don't think he's as bad as he probably has been to start the year.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. We see Ray just not getting the whiffs that we were expected for him to get. But I mean, I think just in general, I wouldn't panic too much yet about anybody. I mean, if you think about it, a month ago, we just had the CBA signed a month ago, right? A month ago, we didn't know if there was going to be a baseball season. We had a 3-week ramp up. These players, you know, were basically, you know, they weren't at the team facilities. They weren't training with the teams. All of a sudden they have to come in and have a 3-week ramp up. I think this, you know, pretty much hurts the pitching more so than the hitting with these pitchers needing to ramp up and stuff. And so you just don't know how some guys were preparing, how they weren't. And, you know, until they came in and then they get 3 weeks and they got to be ready to go. So, you know, we see some guys with their velo up. We see some guys with the velo down. I think you just got to give it a few weeks for things to kind of settle in. I wouldn't panic too much. I mean, there's some guys like, you know, we've talked about Ray. We've, Shane Bieber is another guy who velo down. Julio Urias, his velo's down. Some of it could be just like confirmation bias. Some of these guys that just wasn't on to begin with. But I wouldn't necessarily change my opinion too much just based on like one or two outings so far. So, yeah, I would pretty much just, like, give it a few weeks and just see how things settle. If there's velo still down by, like, their third and fourth starts, then maybe you start to, maybe that worry creeps in a little bit and you see what action you can take on those players.
See, I'm actually a little more concerned about Bieber, but, again, it goes back to his velocity was down that finished the year last year when he returned from the injury as well. So I feel like there is a little more reason for concern with him specifically. But you know who I'm not concerned about, or at least I'm not tonight? Clayton Kershaw had the perfect through seven amazing outing. The velo was a little down there too, but it was a cold day. Oh man, I just saw a home run get robbed. Adam Engel just robbed a home run, but who was it from? That's gonna upset me. Please don't tell me it was like Winker or Haniger or something. That's gonna upset me. Sorry, we're watching baseball while we're podcasting, so you're gonna get some live reaction. That was a great catch. It's the pouring down rain. It was a lefty. Please don't tell me it was Winker. I think it was Winker. I missed who it was. That's so upsetting. I turned on the volume for a second to hear it. I couldn't. Oh no. I've been waiting for Jesse Winker to do something. I really do think it was him. That's so upsetting.
It was Jesse Winker. It was.
I'm so sad. Anyway, sorry.
And then, I mean, we were just talking about, you know, pitchers that we were concerned about. Corbin Burnes comes out and he has a Corbin Burnes outing. He's back on track and, eight strikeouts, seven innings. But I just saw the Milwaukee bullpen blow the lead there. There goes that win for Burnes. So that's
no goodness, no. Ever since pressing play, tonight's been terrible. So it wasn't Hader at least, right? Oh wait,
no,
it wasn't, and it wasn't gonna. And that means Mateo didn't do anything. Mateo did something. Wait, did he steal base though? I don't think he stole base. You know my love for Mateo. He has two stolen bases this year, dude.
Yeah,
that's all I care about.
Anyway, yeah, that's right.
All right, baseball's back. I'm fighting off a cold, so excuse me if I'm a little groggy sounding, but back on track here. Sorry. The excitement is real, guys. We love baseball. I saw you tweet about Merrill. Oh, so real quick. I think we could both say that Kershaw, really, we're not expecting him not to be good. We just don't trust him to stay healthy all year. Velo was a little down, but it was a cold game for him. He had, obviously, an amazing game. I, as a fan, I wanted to see him push through, but I understood the pulling of him because the whole, he wasn't ramped up. I think the most he threw in, like, a bullpen session was, like, 75 pitches, I saw something reported. So I think Kershaw getting pulled, even he seemed like he was okay with it. I get it. It would have been, it's history. Perfect games don't happen often. But if he goes 8 2/3 and blows it, and he, his pitch count goes over 100 plus, and he's coming off the injury in a shortened spring, was it worth it? You know what I mean? Like, so I get, I trust me, I get both sides. As a fan, I wanted to see him keep going, but I wanted to make sure, at least just talk about it real quick, because I know it's going to be all over every podcast. But I think, if you disagree, let me know. But I think that's kind of, I think you agree with that, right?
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
It sucks. Like, we wanted to see him try for it, of course. And you're
absolutely,
you're a Giants fan. You don't want him, you don't root for him often, but when you do, it's usually in this situation, right? So
yeah. I mean, as a baseball fan, yeah, I mean, you want to see stuff like that. You want to see go see a perfect game. I mean, just speaking of Kershaw, though, I mean, last year we saw the skills were there, man. I mean, it really, the skills weren't the problem. And yesterday, or last year, even in his age 33 season, I mean, his strikeout rate was up, you know, the highest it had been since like 2017. Just the underlying numbers, 2.287 xFIP, 3.00 FIP. I mean, the skills were there. It was just about the health. And really, not only with Kershaw, we see it with a couple other guys like Carlos Rodon. You know, we see them paying off really well this early on. And but I don't think the skills are really the issue with guys like that anyways. It's just a matter of, you know, can they hold up all season? So it is still encouraging to see, that's for sure.
I can't believe it was Devin Williams who blew the lead for them, by the way. I just thought I'd mention that real quick. Talk to me about Merrill Kelly. I saw you tweet about him today. I'm encouraged by his start as well to the season.
Yeah, I mean, the Arizona pitching staff, you know, when they hired Brent Strom, the pitching coach from away from the Astros, I mean, I was kind of keeping an eye on them throughout like draft season and spring training and stuff. And Kelly, yeah, he came in. Merrill Kelly came in with his velo up, you know, across the board. And he's, you know, pretty much shut down the Astros today over five innings. Like the whiffs weren't there, but he really was not allowing much hard contact at all. Six strikeouts, five innings. I think he went like 4 1/3 against the Padres with like seven strikeouts, something like that. In his first start. So yeah, I mean, Merrill Kelly is one of these guys. There's really a lot of pitchers who have come out and look pretty good so far. And yeah, I'm really encouraged with what I'm seeing with Merrill Kelly. He's only rostered in like 20% of Yahoo League. So I would be picking him up like in every 12 teamer right now, just to, you know, to see if he can keep this going. But I definitely like what I see from Merrill Kelly.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Astros. The Astros don't strike out a lot, so it's actually impressive that although he didn't, you know, like you mentioned, the whiffs weren't really there. It doesn't really, I mean, this is one of those teams where you don't really judge it again. You don't hold it against them for not striking a lot of players out or creating a lot of whiffs. You know, right. A player that I do have concerns about, and he got the loss today. Although he's been very, very successful so far this season, Ryan Presley's velocity is down a good amount. We're talking 2.5 miles per hour on the fastball, forcing fastball, 1.5 miles per hour on the curveball, and 2.5 miles per hour on the slider. And this isn't the first game where it's been down. It's been down to start the year. Maybe he's still ramping up again. Another guy that might take some time to ramp up, didn't get a full spring training, but they just signed him to a $30 million extension. So I'm not too concerned about the health because he would have had to pass a physical and all that. So, and again, Ryan Presley has been successful and efficient and effective with his prior outings. So this could have been just one of those cases where he lost the game because it was like one of those, he entered a non-safe situation, didn't quite have it in him.
Yeah, no, I mean, today was one of those annoying situations where it's the 10th inning. It was a safe situation, but he comes in the 10th inning, and now with the runner on starting on second, yeah, I mean, I always worry when your closer comes in extra innings and with the runner on second, because like we saw today, against Arizona, they lay a bunt down, sack bunt, and now you got a runner on third, and it's a strikeout situation right off the bat. Putting pressure on the closer. I mean, I guess that's why they're closers for those kind of situations. But yeah, those are always annoying when you see your closer blow the save in the 10th inning. Cause yeah, I mean, the runner started on second already. All it takes is a sack bunt and then a sack fly or something. And they, you know, then they blow the lead. So those are always annoying when that happens.
I looked at it and I swore I only saw one earned run and I didn't realize that he gave up two runs. So that's right. What happened is I didn't realize it was, that's where I messed up. I'm an idiot. I love fantasy baseball. I don't even follow save situations for a guy I have on most of my teams. I thought he came in an unsafe situation. I forgot about the runner on second deal. And I also forgot it was one of those games where I took an afternoon nap because I am sick. So I wasn't watching it all the way through. I watched like the first five innings or four innings of that game. So whatever, I apologize. I could be wrong. Thank you for correcting me, really pitching guru of ours, Mr. Montanet. But you mentioned it. Kelly's velocity is up. He's utilizing a five-pitch mix too, which I really like to see in a pitcher, someone who's able to throw that many pitches. And when I say five-pitch mix, he's throwing all of them at least 13% of the time, at least today. So if you're I look at a pitch as a part of a mix at around that 10% range. So because at least that's enough to keep a pitcher honest and thinking about it. He utilized five pitches at least 13% of the time. So I like to see that. I like a pitcher that has that type of repertoire. Next guy on this list. There's so many. Let's just talk about Rodon real quick. It was the fact that his velocity was up that really blew my mind. I talked about it in the last podcast, so I don't need to give too many thoughts about it. But what are your thoughts on Rodon? You're the Giants fan. Obviously, you have to be encouraged, but throwing harder wasn't expected, and would that add your concern about potential re-injury?
Not necessarily, just because we saw his velo up in the beginning of last season as well. I remember when he was throwing that no-hitter, he was like hitting 98, even like, you know, in the ninth inning and stuff. So the concern with Rodon is if he can keep it up, right? I mean, we kind of expected at this point, you almost kind of expect when someone signs with the Giants, and we see it with Alex Cobb as well. They kind of know what to do with their pitching staff to, you know, get the most out of their pitcher. So, I mean, it was definitely like, it was awesome to watch Carlos Rodon. Just, I mean, 24 whiffs. It was just ridiculous. And yeah, he was up at 98. So, it doesn't really change. Like, obviously it's awesome to see him go out and perform like that. But again, I mean, the question is going to be how long he can keep it up. But at this point, if he keeps, you know, this up, it's going to be worth his draft cost anyways, whatever he does give you.
Absolutely. I have serious FOMO. I have none, absolutely none. And it's so,
no, I'm with you,
but yeah. Okay. The Brewers just took a lead. So maybe we'll see Hader come in for the save in the bottom of the ninth. Alex Cobb, another freaking Giants pitcher with the added velocity, added effectiveness. Overall, I'm a fan, obviously. Not sure there's much to add to that. I think we all saw it coming into the season, and it just carried over.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. I'm glad there was nothing to really say there. Chris Archer caught my attention, not because he was anything special, but because he wasn't terrible. I wish I closed the page out. I had his lineup. I was surprised though, because he caught my attention, because I'm like, I was doing those, I was doing those daily reports, and this is why I do them. Because when you think of Chris Archer, you don't think much of it, but you know, I was trying to prolong it. So he went four innings, three strikeouts, only two hits. So the strikeouts obviously aren't there, but he's back to utilizing his two pitch mix, the fastball slider combo. It was like 90% of what he threw. So he's like 10%. I think it was 10% of a third pitch. I forgot which one it was. It doesn't matter. Archer can be serviceable in two start weeks is kind of the point here. Not really much else, maybe the occasional streamer, but velocity was up if I remember correctly as well. So yeah, there it's interesting. That's the best way to put it. It's interesting.
It is we're going to talk about a lot of like waiver wire type of guys. We've already touched on like a couple like Alex Cobb and stuff, but at least like in shallower formats. But I think with Archer right now, he's probably going to be like among the last of the list, just because like I want to see it. I want to keep seeing it, right? I mean, it's encouraging. I mean, four innings against the Dodgers, but I'm going to want to keep seeing it, like a few more outings. And then the Twins are going with the six-man rotation. So maybe like a deeper like 15-teamer is where like I might be keeping an eye on Chris Archer and see, you know, how he's doing there. But like in your shallower, like 12, 10 teamers, Yeah, he's kind of way in the back there among the last of this list.
Yeah, so there's a lot. We're gonna have to fly through some of these real quick. I guess I can run through some of these notes, and if you have anything to add or suggest to him, we can just do it. But Heaney looked very, very interesting. Another guy that's like you want to root for because he's a guy you've always been pulling. At least I've always been pulling for, and now he's with the Dodgers. Looked impressive. Should have gotten through five, but an error from Trey Turner kind of ruined that. But he looked good. Lorenzen and his changeup caught my attention. Five pitch mix. The velocity was a little down, but Lorenzen going from the bullpen as a starter to a starter, he might need to bring down the velocity in order to get through those innings. But ultimately, looked good, but it was against the Marlins. Just something to monitor. Blackburn, velocity up. Codify, I believe, is where he was at this offseason, something like that. So that's one of those things that you have to pay attention to, that he might have revamped his stuff, and he's obviously added velocity. Also, a deep arsenal. He's a guy. He's one of the ones I'm more interested in. Jesus Luzardo, obviously, all the velocity gains they took, brought him into the season. Really, really heavy usage on the curveball. Looked really solid there.
50% usage on the curveball. I mean, that's exactly what you want to see. And kind of similar with Heaney. Heaney went to the slider a lot more than usual. So a lot of these guys, what you're seeing, a change in pitch mix and increased velocity. I mean, it's all very encouraging stuff.
Same thing. And Nick Martinez, another good outing, five innings, got the win, 10.8 K per nine. It's just one of those things that like, these are guys that if you pick them up to stash them, you hold and see where it goes. Cause like for instance, with Martinez, 36% O swing, 14.5% swing strike rate. Those are above league average, is like 11.6% strike rate right now. And only 30.9% O swing. So he's 5.1% above average on his O swing through one start, and about 3% on his swing strike rate. So the swing and miss stuff was there. It helps back up the notion of him being at least that guy through one start. So Nick Martinez is very impressive outing as well. What I'm getting at is that these guys are all like, if you pick them up, hold them and see where that goes. Obviously, I think my eyes are going to be on Kyle Wright next. I think he pitches tomorrow, the next day. He was another guy that almost felt like Enoa type of deal. Didn't really expect to see much. He was very, very heavy on the utilization of the curve and the sinker. I think that took up 84% of his pitch mix the other night. But his velocity was 3 miles per hour faster on the curve and 1.2 miles per hour faster on the sinker. So not only he heavily relied on two pitches, which kind of concerns me because obviously you want three from a starter, but two can get you through five innings strong. And then the velocity increase and the overall effectiveness that was there. I really like Kyle Wright. He's a guy I picked up and I'm streaming him this week. So I'll see what happens.
I picked him up in a few spots too. And just going back to the postseason last year, he's looked good. And then in spring training, put together a strong spring training, comes out, and he's been one of those pitchers there in Atlanta for like the last couple years now, who's been kind of in the mix, right, for waiting on some of those guys to kind of take hold of a rotation spot. And I really like what I'm seeing from Kyle Wright so far, like just dating back to the postseason last year and then spring training, now his first start. So I would be picking Wright up across like pretty much all 12 teamers.
Yeah, well, speaking of, if somehow this person's available, even in tens at this point, Matt Brash looked great yesterday. Four pitch mix, threw three of them at least 26% of the time. The four seamer he threw 35% of the time, but unfortunately zero whiffs. And even with zero whiffs on that pitch, which he threw the most in the four seamer, Matt Brash, he still managed a 26% whiff rate. So although it's not a great whiff rate, it was still solid considering the pitch he threw the most at zero. And we're talking about he faced on his major league debut, he faced the White Sox. So that's not even it was a good matchup. It was a bad matchup for him, and he still produced. So I'm very encouraged from what we saw there. There's a lot of swing and miss potential, and overall, I'm glad I started him. I mean, obviously he could blow up on the next start and make me feel foolish about it, but I went with the two start Matt Brash this week in the one place I have him. And that's my OC. So $350 league, I believe. So yeah, it was one of those things where it's like, cool, it worked out. Let's hope that he doesn't crush me at the end of the week. But overall, do you have any different feelings about him or?
No, absolutely love Matt Brash. I have him in nine leagues. I started him.
You were in early.
A lot of these are DCs. But still, I was getting them quite often early. I started him in four of those leagues, and then I benched him in five of them just because of, like, you know, the matchups kind of scared me off with the White Sox and the Astros, but kind of regretting not starting him in those five leagues. But, I mean, you got to feel just absolutely wonderful going forward with Matt Brash. How about, let's see, there's so we haven't touched on Paul Blackburn yet.
Yeah, Blackburn's I kind of breezed through him. He's another guy. He's a guy that anyone listening to me in my leagues, he's a top waiver wire priority unless he gets absolutely obliterated this weekend. But he, as of right now, I'm entering this weekend for Fab, and he's one of my top priorities.
Yeah. Now, of this list, like, so, like, Alex Cobb and Jesus Luzardo, they're probably already rostered. But,
yes,
like, Heaney, Lorenzen, Blackburn, Martinez, Archer, Wright, and Brash. Do you want to try to, like, rank these guys as far as pickups?
So Brash, Wright are kind of the top two on that list for me. At least, again, yeah, as of right now, Wright. I have to see if Wright does do well. Martinez is up there. I think Martinez belongs in that discussion because of how good he looked. So those three, and then Blackburn is, like, in that Lorenzen and Heaney area. I think Heaney's in that cut. I think Heaney's, and I think all three of these guys, Lorenzen, I have the least amount of confidence in, plus Lorenzen's in a six-man rotation. So that already kind of puts him at the bottom just by sheer, I don't want to deal with that headache because it's going to be hard to get two start weeks out of him, et cetera, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But Heaney and Blackburn, I think, I like Heaney. So I want to believe, but Blackburn just, when you, I'm torn between those two. I think they belong third, fourth, fifth out of those names you gave because there's a level of upside with Blackburn. I feel like Heaney might not have because Blackburn has the arsenal to be a difference maker, but Heaney's on the Dodgers, so there's win potential. Right. And I don't know. I think I can get Blackburn for less too. I think Heaney being on the Dodgers, having that, you know, past appeal from people, I think it's going to be a lot more of a, I think he's going to be a lot more expensive of a favor, Fab or waiver wire guy. Blackburn's going to be a lot cheaper and a lot more obtainable. So that's a cheat. That's an easy, that's my way of, like, dancing around the answer. But realistically, if I had to pick, I think I'm still leaning Heaney because, but I think that's biased. Blackburn really did impress me though.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you put it well, and I'm with you. I think Brash and Wright are the clear, like, top options for me. Probably leaning, oh man, that it's tough, but those are the two top guys. And then, yeah, Nick Martinez, really interesting. Yeah. Those last three, Blackburn, Lorenzen, and Heaney, like you mentioned with the Angels, the six man rotation, Heaney on the Dodgers, Blackburn has, like, for me, with these changes, higher velo, going to the secondaries a little more, he's kind of always gotten, you know, a lot of ground balls. He kind of, for me, has, like, the best potential to kind of put it all together. You know, he's going to get run there with Oakland. So, and he's probably the cheapest, like, you'll be able to get him, like, the cheapest, like you mentioned. So, yeah, I kind of want to go Blackburn, Heaney, Lorenzen. Yeah, but they're all interesting.
Like, I'm so torn between, but it's really Blackburn and Heaney because I think Lorenzen's good. I think he's interesting, but that six-man rotation all automatically puts him below everyone for me is what it is. That's all it is. Well, I think Blackburn is just, it's one of those things that you want to root for the underdog. I feel like Blackburn is like the nobody was talking about him at all this spring, it feels like. And now suddenly he's making it onto every podcast. I don't know about every podcast. I know I've been listening to him. I haven't heard much Blackburn talk, but let me see. I was trying to find my notes on them. I can't seem to find my notes on them because I wrote a whole bunch of stuff on them because that's what I do. So I'm trying to find my notes on them because I want to give a better idea of how I feel about them. But whatever, I guess I'm not going to give my notes on tonight. Anyway, we can move on. But just one of the, I think I gave a pretty good overview of what I thought about them though. Anyway,
yeah.
Hitters. Obviously, I'm not talking about Stephen Kwan. The dude is stupid good. At least plate approach wise. Real quick, what are your expectations otherwise though? Obviously, Kwan showed the OBP. He shows the on base skills and the plate discipline. Do you expect much in terms of the power and speed categories?
I don't. Like, he had like 12 homers last year. I think he stole like six bases. I mean, his hit tool is absolutely elite. I mean, he walked more than he struck out. I think he just struck out for the first time today, and I think it might have been like a called strike.
It was actually a really good, it was a perfectly placed pitch down at the zone. Like it was a great Lodolo. His first, I tweeted about it. Actually, it was Lodolo.
It was like his one good pitch.
It was just Lodolo was getting a little wild, but the first inning he looks pretty strong. And Lodolo, it was a perfect pitch. It just hit the bottom of the zone perfectly. And it was Lodolo's first career. It was Lodolo's first career strikeout, and it was Kwan's first career strikeout. So it was kind of like a perfect scenario of like, hey, look, I tweeted it, and yeah, I
thought that's amazing.
Yeah, it was just happened to work out that way.
Yeah, no, obviously, I mean, Kwan absolutely buying the hit tool. He's obviously not going to hit 667 or 526, whatever he's hitting right now. But he's a pretty safe bet. I think he's a great bet to hit over 300. He's not going to be like a zero in power and speed, but he's not going to contribute too much there. I'm having trouble like finding like a good comp, but I think maybe like 10 homers, 5 steals, and 300 average, and probably a decent amount of counting stats now that he's hitting second in that lineup.
So he's like Michael Brantley?
Yeah. Yeah, like Michael Brantley. That's probably the best one.
I was saying not the Michael Brantley we used to see with like the double digits of both. See, me and Ryan Venancio go back and forth on Twitter, in text messages, in the Discord. We go back and forth often about at least we did about Kwan. I didn't want to spend as much time about him, but it was just one of those things that some people have a lot more expectations. I'm like, my thing is he's like 5'9", 170. You can't exactly project growth into that frame, and that's not going to really play up to like power at the major league level a whole lot. Right. So I do think the hit tool is great, but we're going to have to see him probably pull a bit and barrel the ball better for that power to show up. He did attempt a steal, but he got caught. I don't know if he's attempted another one since. That's the only thing I've noticed. I haven't looked at his stat line in a couple of days, but I do know he did get caught stealing because Jose Ramirez.
And Amed Rosario, they all got caught stealing on Tyler Stevenson.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. This dude is something though with the on base skills. So it's almost like Wander Franco, but with less flashy tools. Like it's the same idea because Franco's having a great season as well. He's on this list. I just wanted to bring up like as someone who doubted Franco, not the hit tool though, he's actually had quite a few batted balls over like 105 miles per hour. I think he's had like a handful of them already. Like two or maybe 103. It was a weird number I saw the other day. I'm like, I'm noticing because I look at his Savant page. I was looking at his, I look at the Rays, the daily outlook on the Savant page, game feed, whatever. And he's always up there with like 102, 103. I'm like, okay, so there is the power's there if he can just put it in the air, I guess. But he's batting 550 and the same elite plate discipline for Wander Franco. And he stole a base and he's one for one. That's actually the most encouraging thing. He stole a base, was successful, turned around, and maybe he'll steal more than that was my big thing was the steals. But anyway, so that's why it's like I think Kwan is like in that conversation with Franco, but it's like a poor man Franco in the tools aspect, but has the in the power speed tools, not in the obviously the hit tools actually comparable, which is crazy. Stephen Kwan's hit tool is comparable to Wander's. Like that's impressive, you know, to be in that same conversation. Seiya Suzuki, another guy's just like, dude, like today I think his max exit velocity already this year is like 110 miles per hour, almost I think just shy of 111 actually. His barrel skills have been great. He's been selective as it is, and to be selective like that and then hit that well when he does choose to swing, because his walk rate was like over 27% early on. Obviously it's not going to sustain. So just one of those things I wanted to bring up real quick. The Suzuki's just looks so good, and it's been such a smooth transition to start the year. It's really a promising thing to see.
Oh yeah. I'm excited about what I'm seeing from Suzuki. He's got to move up in that lineup. I think he's been hitting like fifth, but
I'm just trying to think where I was looking at that. I was like, he's got to be probably second, third before long. Madrigal shouldn't be holding him back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, who's it like leading off, like Madrigal and Ortega?
Against righties, it's Ortega. Against lefties, I've seen Frazier, stuff like that. So I think Suzuki should work his way up and sooner than later. But I think he's fit. I think he fits best 2-3 at 2-3 area. So it's exciting though, because you and I were in on him. We have him in the Battle of the Pods league. So we reached on him too. I think we jumped him like 50 or 60 picks that in that league back when before it was like the thing to do.
Yeah, that's not right. That, we
not,
did.
Not that we deserve credit for being ahead of the curve, but we just took, it was actually a big gamble because we needed power and speed late.
Yeah.
And he happened to be.
So there was two guys that we wanted that got sniped from us back to back. It was this was like around pick 160. We got sniped on Lourdes Gurriel and Andrew Benintendi. They went back to back, and then we're like, all right, screw it. Let's just go ahead and reach on Suzuki.
That's exactly what happened. And it worked out, though, because obviously, I mean, not that it's too early to say it worked out, but he's looking great. It looks, and he's looking professional, like MLB ready, which is nice. Which, you know, some of these guys come over there from there and don't have the same success early on. Connor Joe, it's when the signing of Grichuk or the trading of Grichuk for Grichuk happened, I was all about, oh, Connor Joe's going to be the main guy. He's going to be able to play first base to give what's his face, Crone a day off. He's going to be able to play right field to give Blackman the day off. And he's going to be able to DH. He's going to be able to fit that role so well. And then everyone got my ear. And then spring training lineups too, which this might be one of those things where they fooled us. But in the towards the end of spring training, they started getting Hilliard in there against righties, Joe against lefty. I was like, oh no, was I wrong to be this in on Joe? So I didn't take advantage of the discount. And Connor Joe's been the guy since day one. He's stealing bases. He's hitting home runs. He's leading off against lefties. He bats like top five regardless. Connor Joe. I just wanted to praise him for being amazing.
Yeah, just as many walks as strikeouts right now. I mean, we knew the plate discipline was good. I'm with you. I kind of, I was taking him early in draft champions, like really late, like past pick 400. But kind of backed off a bit once just things just, I mean, because you figure it's the Rockies and the Rockies are going to rock you. So I was just like backing off a bit. But yeah, kind of. Definitely love like what I'm seeing. He's already scored 7 runs, like you said, 2 homers, 1 steal. Yeah, I think that's legit.
Yeah, I'm upset. I would buy. I mean, I think it's funny though, because I bet you in a typical trade league, you could probably go out and get him, and it wouldn't take as much as it might, because I think people might be looking to sell high. I'd be looking to see what it would cost to acquire Connor Joe's services on my fantasy team. I don't play in trade leagues anymore. I played one Yahoo Friends and Family, which was awesome to be invited to. I last time checked them, I was in fourth place. That's what you get, Pianowski, if you're listening. Scott's been such a good dude to me, man. Over the last couple of years, he's been super supportive. So I was thinking when he offered to let me be in there. Yeah. Right now, Jensen's in first. Of course he is. Striker, baby. Striker's in first, but I'm in fourth right now. So that's a league that it's the only league I play that has trades, so maybe I'll make a trade as needed. But anyway, yeah, I don't do a lot of trade leagues, so I honestly, we've kind of transitioned as players from that. So a lot of our content isn't covering that stuff like it used to. We try to throw it in there because we understand it's a thing, but at the same time, it's not what we do anymore. Want to put that out there. I mean, not that we're against it. We just I don't have time for trades. That's the problem. I don't have time to put in the required research and dedication that it takes to do trades in trade leagues. That's why I don't do them.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It's funny, just like the more we take on, it's the like, you know, I've been really big on these like draft and holds, so I'm like, oh, I don't have to do waivers every week, I just gotta set my lineups, like, heck yeah. I'm happy to give trade advice, pickup advice, whatever. We get a lot of questions in the Discord too, you know, we'll get offer our advice and stuff.
Yeah, I'm all about helping out with it, but we don't bring it up naturally that often. And like this year, we're not gonna do any buy low sell high episodes probably either, because if we're talking about buying or selling a player, it's like buying or selling like what they're doing, not necessarily in your league. So that's why one of those warnings. Like, we're all about answering your questions. It's just one of those things that we're not gonna go out of our way to create content around. There's a lot of that content already out there, so we're trying to stick to either A, obviously get the, I have the lineup stuff I'll be talking about in general, and then B, like, just talk about performance, because I think knowing what you should buy in terms of player performance will help you make all those decisions on your own anyway. But anyway, back to the show. Brandon Belt, picking up where he left off, what do you think about Brandon Belt?
Oh, I love Brandon Belt, man. I mean, he's been one of the best hitters basically since 2020 when he's in the lineup. Picking up where he left off, 2 home runs. He did sit today against a lefty, Sean Manaea. I think it might have been a little bit more about just giving him an extra day off, because you saw a lot of regulars sitting today. for the Giants against the Shaman, I think it's just with 13 games coming up, 13 straight games coming up on the schedule for the Giants. I think Gabe Kapler just kind of opted to give him the day off. You won't see him sit against every lefty, but maybe tougher lefties, or like in this situation where they have a long stretch of games coming up, I think you'll see him get a day off, especially just to kind of for maintenance too, because we see, you know, Brandon Belt have trouble staying on the field. But yeah, definitely love what I've been seeing from Brandon Belt. Just hope he stays healthy, man. I think, you know, think he can hit 30 homers for sure if he stays healthy.
Trust me, I can use it, because there's a lot of leagues I have him in where I lack power, and I would love for him to be a difference maker in power. I would absolutely love it. Alex Bregman, can we say, I mean, it's way too early to say he's back fully, but you got to be encouraged by what we're seeing early on, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Bregman was one of the third basemen I was buying into, because you know, during draft season, it's like, man, where are you going to get your third baseman? Because it was pretty ugly. And yeah, I was buying the discount on Bregman, like around pick 90, 100. We were seeing him go in draft season. Just because, like, for me, it felt like, well, if I'm going to take a chance on a third baseman, he's kind of has one of the safest profiles, just because he doesn't strike out. He walks a ton. He's in one of the best lineups. And so, you know, you kind of just hope that he stays healthy, because he's battled, you know, the soft tissue stuff over the last couple seasons. But we were getting, you know, good encouraging reports over the winter, like from his like social media and stuff, about the way he was feeling, you know, feeling good, no issues and stuff. So, yeah, I definitely hope he's another one that can stay healthy, because I think, you know, kind of projected him just because of the amount of balls that he puts in play, and the way he's been able to use that stadium to his advantage there at home with the Astros. I thought we could see, you know, another him return to like a 290 with like 20 homer kind of guy. So yeah, definitely encouraged with what I'm seeing from Bregman. I think if he stays healthy, I think you could say that he's back.
I think the only concern I have is that, like, early on anyway, his max exit velocity is only 103.8, which he's never been a huge max exit velocity guy, mm-hmm. but like the lowest in the last 4 years prior, or even 5 years, has been 105.6. So maybe the power isn't quite all the way back yet. Not that it can't get there or won't get there. He has a couple home runs. So obviously, it doesn't necessarily mean he needs that, you know, he doesn't necessarily need the power for the, need the max exit velocity for the power play up, especially in that ballpark. But, Hader's in for the save right now. Of course, yeah. Of course, what, Jorge Lopez blew up. That's what happened there. Lopez yeah. just blew up. So I'm not sure how you feel about Lopez as a relief pitcher, but I guess he's the kind of closer.
Yeah. I mean, that situation, like, it's
murky
just...
at best. Murky at best.
Yeah. Huh? You don't want Jorge Lopez if you don't need to, if you're absolutely like, if you're not desperate for saves, like in a 15 teamer, deep 15 teamers is where he should be rostered. I mean, that's about it.
Yeah.
Same with like the Pirates. I mean, we kind of like, that's another situation too, just touching on that a bit, like these save situations on these really bad teams, like Lou Trevino's another one. Like he got his first save today, but it's like, man, the saves aren't going to come all too often for these guys. Like with the Pirates, we don't know. We thinking like maybe Bednar and David Bednar and Chris Dryden can maybe share save chances, but it's like, you're going to share what, 20 save chances? Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't know why Baltimore traded Sulcer and what was the other guy? I'm losing his name right now, but yeah, it's just a situation I don't want any part of at all.
Yeah, Sulcer's like velocity has been down. He hasn't really been doing much for Miami anyway. So, and yeah, there's another one that doesn't really matter. They both suck. I'm just a bitter Miami's fan, so everybody sucks right now.
Yeah. Dude, hey, Tim Anderson and Luis Robert just went back to back.
Dude, Lou Bob has looked amazing to start the year. Stealing bases, hitting dingers. Give me all the. I'm so happy I got Lou Bob in a few leagues. You know.
Oh yeah.
He was a target of mine in the back end of the first, because he was that guy that if everything clicked leading, like, you know, after last year coming back. Wow, yep. Tough call third strike there for Abreu. Anyway, a slider away like that. It was a really, really, really interesting call. Definitely out of the zone, but good pitch. Anyway, back to so Bregman, he is one of those guys where I got no Bregman because I was getting Arenado, who I feel like Arenado's making me look really good right now, because he's talking mm-hmm. about hot starts. Arenado's there. I don't know the batting average, I don't think the batting average sustains, but we know the power is legit, so there's really no questioning that part. We talked about, I realize there's like four Guardians players on here. Oscar Mercado, Amed Rosario. Is it just a matter of hot, the team's running hot right now type of thing? Just Mercado with the three home runs. I think he has three home runs already. Like, we're seeing the power play up, which he doesn't really have any, so it's really weird. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about Mercado. Are you back in on him, like, in terms of just like picking him up, seeing what happens? We know the stolen bases could be there. He's only batting 200, but with three home runs, so I think it's pretty much almost like he's selling out for it. Let's see, what is he pulling? He has a 60% pull rate. He's definitely selling out for power.
Yeah, no, I think line,
oh my goodness, a 46.7% fly ball rate, only 6.7% line drives. Yes, Mercado is selling out for power.
That's just a flash there, you know.
Would you ride it out though, like in a 15 teamer, five outfielders? Like, you just go pick them up and see what happens?
Sure. I mean, yeah, I mean, you kind of, I would, you know, maybe ride the, put them in hand there for a week. I don't know. Yeah, ride the hot hand. I don't know what kind of matchups they have coming up, but like, they, like, okay, look at the teams that they've played. I mean, the whole Guardians lineup has been running hot, but, you know, they've played the Royals and the Reds in Cincinnati. So you kind of take that with a grain of salt. But it seems like the whole Royal, I mean, the whole Guardians lineup has just been, really on fire.
Enter, starting Friday, the Guardians enter a home stretch of at least six games.
That's right, because the Giants go to Cleveland.
The Giants and then the White Sox. So they're going to get some tough pitching with the Giants. The White Sox might be not as tough as they were, you know, with Giolito and all that. So we'll see how that one goes.
Yeah, no Giolito, no Lynn.
Yeah. Yeah, so the White Sox aren't such a problem, but the Giants should be. Let's see who they have projected starting for them. Projected starting, their aces,
Rodon.
Rodon, Descafani, and Wood. Mm-hmm. Perfect. We'll see how they hit against real pitching. Because I agree, I think part of the hot streak is who they're facing. Owen Miller for deep leagues is worth mentioning just because he's playing. He looks like Owen Miller took over the starting spot from Bobby Bradley, which didn't take long. And in spring training, Miller was far out producing Bradley. So it looks like Miller is going to get some run there. Deep league type, I wouldn't add him in anything shallow. Like 12 teams, if maybe as a corner infield type of thing, if you need some help there, I could see it. But I'm not overly like interested. I mean, I haven't dug into him either, though, to be honest. But I do know that he's just kind of a jag, you know, just a guy. Although, like, right now, you know, like, he is able to hit decent, you know, he has the max exit velocity is up there, so you know the power can be there. It's like 107, 108 miles per hour over the last couple of years. That's about it, though. He's not barreling it all that well, but I think what we're seeing is realistic. I mean, he's not really hitting. What is he? I'm trying to look at his stat line here. So far this year, he has two home runs. When did that happen? I didn't realize he had the two home runs.
Owen Miller.
Yeah, I didn't realize he hit two home runs already.
I think he hit two today.
Was it might today? Have
yeah, one today.
no, it might have been today because I swear I just looked him up because during part of my daily notes is to look at who's doing what. And if Miller,
it was two home runs today.
That's why. See, I didn't look at the stat line yet for the day. That's why. And then, by the way, this is why I do recaps of every game. Like, and this is why I look at lineups every day. I try to get my eyes on these stats as much as possible. And I actually look up every day. I look up last seven because that's all we have. And I try to find who stands out in the last seven home runs, on base, stolen bases, who's in the negative. I'll look up the highest K rates just to see who's struggling and who's running hot. So, yeah, I didn't get a chance to look him up today, obviously, but two home runs today definitely puts him on that like people are. That's why someone just asked them if they should drop Enoa for him in the Discord. I'm like, it's not a priority, but I'm fine with that. Like, Enoa isn't exactly a guy that I was thought highly on anyway. I'm okay with that type of move, right? Like, whatever, I guess.
Yeah.
Should I be higher on Enoa?
I don't know, because I wasn't really in on Enoa.
I'm fine with that move. Like, I'm not a big Enoa guy. He kind of struggles a lot his first outing too. I think Enoa is one of those guys where you draft him to see if he could pick up where he left or started off last year, kind of be like, see if he could be that guy again. And if he's not, like, he becomes one of those guys that you kind of pick up drop unless he shows he can sustain it. Jeremy Pena has my attention. He went 1-for-4 today, but he hit a home run. We know some power, some speed there. The strikeouts aren't terrible. 23.8% entering today, batting 300. So you know the hit tool is probably at least relatively decent. I think he's still a deep league guy, though. I have him in a 12, but it's a it's, you know, with a middle infield spot type of thing.
Yeah, sure. No, I think he should be picked up in 12 teamers. Didn't strike out today, so that strikeout rate's down to 20% right now. He's absolutely scorching the ball. Another guy who, like, just everything is being hard hit. And I mean, you look at the, you know, last year he had 10 homers in 133 plate appearances. Now that is in AAA. Not sure about, you know, the Houston AAA affiliate, like how their home run environment, how the hitting environment is there. But I mean, that's definitely encouraging. 10 home runs and 133 plate appearances. Then, yeah, this year, like, everything's just coming off the bat, you know, heart just scorching. So and then in that lineup, he's going to, I mean, he's everyday shortstop for the Houston Astros. Even if he continues to hit, you know, like seventh. He may hit like second on occasion, but yeah, I think Pena is definitely 12 team viable.
All right, we're gonna move into this final area. I mean, Ahmed Rosario's on this list, but again, it goes back to the Guardians as a whole just hitting very well because we think it's matchup based a little bit. But Alex Kirilloff, struggling young players, is kind of the last little part here. We're gonna talk about a few names, but Kirilloff, I told you I was concerned about the power. I did not, and I this is almost like I told you so. I hate that it's I told you so on injury though, because I didn't think he was injured. I didn't think injury was playing a part. I did think that he was having issues getting his power back because of the injury he sustained, the wrist issue. And we saw it in spring. He wasn't really getting the power going. And then early in the season, he's striking out almost 40% of the time. Alex Kirilloff, that is, I'm speaking about. And he's on the IL now with wrist inflammation. And you don't want to hear that because obviously he just had a rough – and he had a rough rehab with the wrist. I tried to tell you to back off. It wasn't even based on the injury. It was just based on the fact that I didn't trust the power to show up. But now it's like a injury, like, oh, man. Like, are you dropping him in shallower formats?
Yeah, I think he's a drop in I definitely like keep an eye on him, like see how it's progressing. But I think he could be dropped basically like universally at this point. I don't know about maybe 15 teamers, but like 10, 12 teamers, Kirilloff can be dropped.
I would say 15s if we get news that it's like something that's going to hold him out for like 3-4 weeks. That makes him droppable. Yeah. And like, because, you know, leagues like main events and stuff, that's where I'm talking about, like, he'd be droppable. But these are other guys. I'm just more or less, I'm not really concerned. As long as Bobby Witt Jr. and Julio Rodriguez are playing every day, I'm willing to look past the early season struggles. But Dalton Varsho, I brought him up because although he is struggling, he is still leading off. And what I found encouraging, at least prior to today, which he didn't play today because I think it was his first day off of the season, he has a 1-to-1 walk ratio. I think it's 5-5 because I'm looking at 26.3% walk rate right now and strikeout rate. So although he is struggling, the BABIP is just 111. He is batting .071. His batting average is under 100, and his OBP is still 316. To give you an idea of, so leading off shouldn't be affected as long as he can sustain such a high walk rate for Varsho. But you gotta think there's better days ahead on the hitting side. So although I'm concerned, at least there's reason for optimism. That's the reason why I put him down here. Although he's struggling, I think I'm not as pessimistic on him as a couple other names we're going to end the show with.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Any concerns about Witt, though, or J-Rod or anything?
No, I, with those three in particular, I'm not all too concerned about yet. I would just be patient, you know. Bobby Witt, in particular, I mean, he continues to hit second in the lineup. I think he'll come around. So, yeah, I would just continue to be patient.
If I told you there was a player who didn't play today, has 17 plate appearances, a 52.9% strikeout rate through those plate appearances so far, does have a stolen base, but no other stats, hitting 67 on the year, what would you think about them? Yeah, remember, he has a stolen base, though. No other stats, no runs, RBI, or home runs.
No, I mean,
top,
I
was a top 150 pick, I believe, on average, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if the top 150 pick, I mean, kind of depends, because if it's someone who I was off of, it would just be confirmation bias. If it's someone that I liked, I would just be, I would just be like, hey, it's only been 1 week. I mean, that's just the truth.
I know. But in all seriousness, this guy, okay, let me add to it. This player comes with added, like last year was like hit and miss, started off terrible, got sent down. Or sorry, he got called up was, I think he was sent back down, came back up, finished strong. I'm telling you, it's Jared Kelenic. And Kelenic is just a guy I wasn't in on. I wanted, and it's frustrating because he finished off the year good enough to give you reasons for optimism. Hitting the minors really well last year, too. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if he needs to go fix something again. I could see him, I could see him being sent back down. I don't know if I can drop him in anything shallower than a 12, though. Like in a 15, I think he's somebody you keep on the bench because there's not many players you're going to be able to find with more upside once things click. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't want to, I think he's worth stashing for now, but in a 12, like, it gets tough. Five outfielders, it gets tough. Three outfielders, he's a cut with three outfielders for sure.
Yes.
I think it's easy. Five outfielders, I'm not ready. I'm not a robot. I can't turn this off, man. I feel like I got a hold to see if he could turn it around because it's only 17 plate appearances. And I'm not even a Kelenic guy. If somebody dropped him, I'd probably add him and stash him myself.
Yeah, this one for me is going to be on the confirmation bias side because I'm with you. I don't have any Jared Kelenic. And but I agree with you 100%. Like a 12-team, five outfielders, I think you hold on, especially if it's like roto. If it's like head-to-head, like head-to-head three outfielders, I think he's a drop in 12-teamers in that context. But like a roto five outfielder 12-teamer, like I hold on at least for another couple weeks, see if he could start getting something going. Yeah, that's where I'm at with Kelenic.
Then are you feeling the same way about Joe Adell, another guy that I actually had serious FOMO on entering the year because in spring he was running.
I mean, he was tearing it up.
He did have some strikeout issues in spring, but he's that volatility is fine given the skill set. But then Joe Maddon, like on opening day, oh, by the way, Tyler Ward or Taylor Ward, I forget which one it is. Ward's going to be an everyday player when he gets back. Okay, cool. So are you already telling us that Adell's going to be sent down? He has been pretty much platooning with Jose Rojas, of all players. So right. It's not like, and I looked up Jose Rojas, it's like his career OPS is like sub 700. And Adell is not good in the field. So he's already kind of platooning. I don't see him staying up if he can't get rolling by the time Ward gets back. And like, yeah, he came in, he hit a home run. He hit a home run when he filled in for Trout the other night. Did you see the pitch he hit the home run off of? It was a 90-mile-per-hour meatball down the middle.
No, I did not see that.
Dude, that's why I was so frustrated because I'm like, everyone's getting earlier that day, I was explaining why I was like a little concerned about him just because he was like 0-for-9 with 7 strikeouts and platooning. And then he goes out and gets the last minute start and hits a home run. He goes 2-for-4 with a home run and a double. And they were loud hits too. They were like 108 mile per hour hits. Like I was like, okay, cool. I never questioned the flashiness or the tools. I questioned the fact that he could like just be consistent and even get, it was more of a playing time concern. And then they followed that up. They follow up a 2-for-4 day by benching him. So yeah. I'm like,
I was getting FOMO too. Like when he was just tearing it up in the spring, but he was someone that I was like off of all draft season, just cause like, I know he had a really encouraging end to the season last year where like the strikeouts were down, but just like looking at the underlying numbers, I thought that strikeout rate could definitely spike back up just because like the swinging strike rate was up. It was 15% swinging strike rate. He was still chasing 40% O swing, and like the plate, all these plate discipline and contact metrics like looked like dead on with like Ryan Mountcastle. Like it was like Ryan Mountcastle, Javi Baez, Avisel Garcia, like a lot of guys with like a lot of swing and miss who are like very aggressive. And I thought like, man, I think that strikeout rate is going to jump back up for Adell. I'm not sure I'm buying those late season, you know, gains with the strikeout rate. And sure enough, we're seeing it right now. And it definitely doesn't help that he's platooning. So, he's another one where I think, you know, he's getting definitely like cuttable in those shallower like 12 teamers.
And yeah, that was my bad. He didn't sit the next game. I forgot he started against Lizardo because Lizardo's a lefty. He was pinch hit four in that game. So I think he got two at bats against Lizardo. And I guess the reliever that came in was a righty because he was they pinch hit him for, again, Jose Rojas. Like who exactly? I didn't know who he was until I saw him in the lineup. And I'm pretty certain, I'm going to double check it right now because I remember making a note of that because I was like, dude, you come off a day where you hit two really good hits, a double and a home run with really good, you know, you get some confidence back. And what do? Start you against the lefty just to pull you mid-game. Yeah, they pinch hit Jose Rojas for him. Now, Adele did go 1-for-2 with a strikeout. And even the day before, he was 2-for-4. I think one of his outs was a strikeout as well. So the strikeout issues have been legit. And that's why with Adele, he's kind of in that Kelnick territory where I rather stash if I can. But like three outfield leagues, I'm okay with, personally, I'm okay with moving on. But yeah, anyway, I think there's one more name, or is that the last name? Because we have like three. Akil Baddoo. He hit a home run today. And Grossman's out. So I think playing time concerns are not there right now. And maybe by the time Grossman gets, Grossman doesn't seem like he's, there was nothing on the MRI. So maybe it's not long term. But even with Grossman out, you think Baddoo can move up. They decided to lead off Victor Reyes over Baddoo. I wonder what they're thinking with Baddoo all of a sudden. Like, where did they were all spring training, they were leading him off and stuff. The confidence seems gone.
Yeah, another guy that I don't have any
one,
of.
I got one share, and that's because Matt Williams talked me into him. I'm like, all right, Matt, I'm gonna take a shot because the tools are there. There's power, speed. He was leading off. He was having a strong spring. I got interested in Baddoo. I took one swing at Baddoo in my last OC. I wanted a little bit of power and speed potential. And today again, he had a home run. I started him this week, so. Yay me, but it's one of those things where it's like I was like, "Ooh, this is not," and this is still not what I want to see with them.
Yeah. I mean, I think you know, he might have bought himself a little more time here, but yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, I think he could still be like, you know, if he's playing all year, I think he could still be like a 12-12 kind of guy. But yeah, hitting ninth in the lineup, it's not going to come with very many counting stats, and it's probably not going to come with a very good average. So. Yeah, unless it's like a 15 team like Roto, I think he's pretty much might be cuttable in other formats.
Yeah, I'm just sorry I got distracted. I'm not gonna lie, I got completely distracted because I was pulling up the Patreon questions in our Discord. So we're gonna transition over to those to finish off the show. There's only a couple of them, I think. I gotta find it. Okay, I found them again. So. I think this kind of goes into like what I cover almost every day with the lineup stuff because from Jared on our Discord, biggest concerns with lack of at-bats and new targets of guys with increased playing time. So basically, players, we talk about Adele being the big one of our biggest concerns with player appearance issues. Obviously,
Adele, Bobby, Baddoo.
I would say, Baddoo, at least he's playing every day. Bobby Bradley, we mentioned he's kind of out of a job. I'm skimming through the lineups now, see if anything triggers a memory. I do think, real quick on targets, new targets to buy. That's so early.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically just a lot of the like waiver wire types that we've talked about. Like Connor Joe would be one.
Yeah, I think we should buy in on Connor Joe for sure because Connor Joe's. We talked about why though. Great, and that's actually a great one. Tyler Naquin batting second, having a decent start to the year, should play most days, even if he doesn't play against all lefties. He'll play enough to where it doesn't really matter. Jorge Mateo, obviously, that's confirmation bias though. It's an athletic guy apparently because I found out, you know, me and Ian Khan reached out and was like, hey man, because we both had bold predictions around Jorge Mateo, so I found out that he, and apparently there's a beat writer for the Athletic that was really in on him too. So yeah, we had I heard it today on Under the Radar that it's Jorge Mateo is kind of like an athletic brand guy, so good for us, I guess. hopefully good for us. If he's bad, I claim nothing. What else? Andy Ibanez plays every day, like between third base, he even played first base. Literally going through every roster real quick.
A guy on the other side that losing playing time, I mean, Alec Bohm. You know, Alec Bohm was someone that a lot of people were high on, you know, potential bounce back. I think, you know, he had some good underlying numbers last year, but it's looking like he might not get that chance. I mean, he's kind of on the weak side of platoon there.
Somebody who has my attention but isn't really viable in most leagues is G-Man Choi. The dude's crushing the ball to start the year, plays against righty, strong side platoon. Oh, Dom Smith, another one that's not playing a lot. And he hasn't really deserved it. Like, he played today and looked and didn't do, I think he was like over through like three strikeouts or something stupid. Like, he's just not earning the playing time. Kevin Smith's the guy who's losing playing time to Sheldon Noisy, and Noisy's having a decent start to the year too. Santiago Espinal's guy I really like. He's somebody who's been, he took the job from Biggio like 3 days into the season. This team needs a lefty bat, and they still said, nope, Espinal, you're in, Biggio, you're out. So yeah, he's a guy that, I've seen early on that I've really started liking. I think there's a sneaky power speed combo there. I think that's gonna do it right there for those names that I can think of. Again, these are all top. You would think, okay, I'm not gonna lie to you. Here's a little secret. We don't prep for the questions a lot of times. We just kind of take them and like, let's talk about them because it's almost like natural conversation. Let's see. Oh, sorry. We have another one that said he mentioned pretty much all the guys we talked about. Witt, Rodriguez, Kelnick. They're all bad right now. Make me feel better about having so many shares. And we did not do that at all. Sorry. We did the opposite.
No, okay, I would just say just be patient, right? I mean, it's been 5 days, 6 days. So just, yeah. Just,
it's hard
just
to be on. Patient.
Don't be too reactive when we get to the season.
I agree with that. No doubt. I would like to give them, I would like to give them all a month. But just the problem is in today's game, you do that, you're missing out. Like you are. You just, you're taking on the bad stats. You're missing out on players on the waiver wire. It's risky. I mean, I feel like people are more reactionary now than ever. When it comes to this,
you're gonna go through stretches of bad stats, whether it's in April or June or August, or it doesn't matter.
It's way less noticeable in June and August, though.
But I mean, it is, but it's just that's the nature of the game, man.
I know. Okay, when making fab or free agent pickups, what criteria are you looking for most? And he asks, this is Robbie. Asked about opportunity, upside, overperforming history, any certain stats. I think you hit, like, there's a couple, there's more to this, but I want to talk about how you pretty much hit all of it, because I think you look at a little bit of everything. For instance, Owen Miller, opportunities there, but there's not much upside. Doesn't really have a history of overperforming, but, like, right now he kind of is overperforming. So there's one of those things where it's like you hit the nail on the head. Like, I kind of take all the stuff and factor it into what I'm doing when I look at a player in general. But yes, and then you mentioned any certain stats, kind of all of it, you take. So I do the first part first. I look at every player for what they are and what they can offer, and then I look at the stats I need for the specific team. If I need speed, Mateo was a guy I was targeting for speed. If I need power, I'm gonna go get, I don't know, Susugo off the waiver wire, somebody that, or Garrett Cooper, a guy that was like still available in some of my shallower formats, like 12s. That, like, if I need power, like, so yes, at the end of the day, unless a player truly appears to be breaking out all around, I will usually just look at a group of players, make little notes on them, and decide which one fits my team best for what I need, and go that direction. That's how I look. That's how I look at and prioritize pickups. But don't get me wrong, there's guys like Stephen Kwan that, even if I need him, he's a guy that I want to go out and get because he can. There's a potential for being difference making there.
Yeah.
So that's when the difference making aspect will, like, you should, I feel like you should weigh that heavier, because if there's a guy you think is going to truly make a difference for your team, you should make sure to prioritize them regardless if you need them right now, because you'll find a way to make it work around them because they're that good.
Yeah.
Sorry. I know I kind of answered the whole question myself. it was just those things where I don't know. You asked me a good question like that. I'm like, oh, I got to talk about this. Because he mentioned he's in a 5x5, always struggles with who to cut. And so let's talk about cutting players. We talked about how it's difficult to cut something. Cut players, I should say, from your roster. Again, there's really, really successful players that pretty much cut bait without waiting. And they're good because they're good at picking up players off the waiver wire. I'm willing to cut bait on a player that doesn't all, like, if it's, I'm trying to think of a name.
A lot of times, the first sign is like one of the first things to stabilize is like contact and play discipline, right? So, like, that might be one of the first things you look at. If a guy's struggling, like, is he striking out a lot? That's going to be one of the main reasons why you can cut a guy. If he's just getting, like, unlucky, you're going to want to hold on a little bit more. Like, if he's making good contact, but, you know, it's just a low BABIP, but he's still putting the bat on the ball and not striking out, maybe taking walks and stuff. So there's so much that goes into it, but, like, for me, that's one of the biggest things is contact and play discipline.
And I'm trying to think of names. Like, usually guys on the back end of your roster, you can't hold on to those guys too long. Like, you gotta, like, for instance, like, Jonathan VR is getting really close to being cuttable. He's not playing every day. I know the speed potential's there, but wisdom is, like, striking out 50% of the time. So I'm kind of holding on to, and we talked about that a little bit in the Discord. And I think wisdom could lose that job, but man, VR's glove is just not that great. But VR's getting interesting because he was a guy that you're drafting kind of hoping to get those stolen bases. And if he's not going to play, like, I'm like, come May, I don't know if I'm going to be able to justify rostering him. So that's a guy that's like, maybe I'm a little too patient when it comes to making these cuts. But I'll make a tough cut like that. Like those guys that like I weigh playing time heavily in my decision making. And if there's a guy that's just not playing that doesn't have much talent. It's almost like you're like with VR, you drafted the stat, not the player. Because if you look at the player, it's not that impressive. But you look at the stolen bases, you're like, ooh, I want those stolen bases. It's almost like you draft saves for saves. You don't draft saves for the obviously a lot of times like you would never put Daniel Bard on your roster if it was for anything but saves, you know? So it's one of those things that like those types of players become the first ones I look to get rid of because it's like, well, didn't really like them in the first place, and they're not playing, like the playing time for them is not there. Then maybe that's when I should cut bait. So that's how I look at it when deciding. But like I would cut VR if something popped up on the waiver wire I felt like I needed to get. And I'll probably drop some names about fab targets in the Discord as well. But if there's a name that's like out there, like I don't know, like even like if I see VR as like someone who's droppable, but someone dropped Kelnick or Adele, and I had room to stash somebody, that's the type of cut I'd make because VR is VR is a stash for me in a league. But I would cut him for a higher upside stash or cut him for a like, oh, I need pitching bad. I need two start guy. Sorry, VR, but you're not playing for me. It's going to hurt to see you produce for somebody else, but I can't let you. You can't be dead weight on my roster, especially in those formats where you're limited to you're limited on bench spots. You can't stash injured players. There's a lot that goes into that stuff.
Yeah.
All right. I think there's one more. No, I think that's it, actually. A few questions, pretty, and I like that because got some good ones in there. So anyway, I think that's gonna do it. This was a good episode. It's one of our longest episodes we've had in a while, George. Over an hour.
Yeah,
that's how baseball's back. And
that's right. Yeah. No, I was gonna say it was fun, man. Just going through all the early season stuff. It's exciting.
And I think this is gonna be the type of show we do more often, because we only record once a week anyway. So might as well make it a little on the long side, but it's gonna cover so much in terms of players. We'll talk about Fab a little bit here and there. It depends on when we can record. We do aim for once a week, though. That much we can do.
Yeah,
we have a lot going on. But again, we appreciate you checking out everything. Don't forget to check us out on Twitter. I'm at @Mike_Curlin. George is at @Roto_Nino. We have the Discord, obviously, and all the other stuff on the Patreon. So patreon.com/skplaybook. I got the daily article coming out on skplaybook.com. We have Ryan Venancio. He took a week off because he was actually on tour with his band, which is really cool. We have a drummer that writes for us, but he's a really cool dude. But he's going to be doing some pitch mix and velo stuff for the site as well, talking about that stuff. George is doing George things, always helping out, talking about relief pitchers in the Discord and on the Patreon too. So it's just a lot. We got a lot. Come check us out. See if I promise you we can probably help you at least a little bit. But we do appreciate all the support. And I guess that's everything. So we'll talk to you guys next time.